to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we get together and we talk about important things by listening. And we listen to important things by talking. And just have a good time together. I'm going to share stories, and then I'm going to ask for them back. Because this isn't a story store, it's a lending library. You can keep the memories. I actually might want to borrow them back, though, for a while. To show a friend.
Hello?
Hey, hello, it's Don.
Hey, Don, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good, man.
Well, I'm just so, I'm so happy.
Yay.
I want to share something with you. So, question. You can hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, listen to this.
What? All right. Harmonica. Fantastic.
How about that, right?
Yeah, man.
Well, hang on. Listen to this.
What? Oh. More harmonic. Very nice. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I just discovered their harmonica. It's giving me so much joy.
Oh,
I can hardly,
yeah.
Contain myself.
Oh.
It makes me so happy. And I thought, who can I share this with? And so I said to myself, question, who can I share my joy with and my new love of harmonica? Let me just play you one more thing, Lou.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah. Play it down. That's great. I'm so glad you found something that brings you joy.
When I was in the Weeblos, thank you for your service, I was asked one week, because I believe that the leaders had perceived that I was a lonely child, to bring in something that I was interested in, a hobby or something that brought me joy. So I decided to bring in my rock collection. I had a whole shoebox full of interesting rocks and stones, and I don't even know if there's a distinction. There isn't in my mind. In fact, I had really made no effort to figure out what kind of rocks or stones I had. That really wasn't what brought me joy. They were, to me, just as independent objects, interesting, beautiful, evocative. I imagine that they were magic stones, some of them. I'd line them up. I'd say, oh, get me all the wacky packs or something that I want. So I took these in to the meeting. I don't remember much about it. I'm sure it was in some sort of church rec room, and it smelled like erasers. And they said, all right, you have the floor. Tell us about your rock collection. And from that point on, I'm pretty sure I've blocked it out, because what happened was that I was sort of gently mocked for not knowing anything about the rocks. And nobody just wants you to hold up a rock and say, I think this blue one's pretty. They want you to say, this is igneous carbonate, and it's found in the formations of the whatever, magnum. I didn't say that. I still couldn't tell you much about geology. I'm interested in it, I guess. I just don't know much. People always want to know, how could you be interested in something and be ignorant of it? Well, that's not my problem, how small my brain is. I could still enjoy music. I'm always not able to tell you a lot about the things that I like. And I think that that's the case for somebody who has discovered a new joy. Our friends, they come to us and they say, oh, something's making me very excited. Say, what is it? And they go, this. You go, what is that? You go, well, it's a sort of a spiritual hippie drum that sounds like a gong. Well, really more like pots and pans, but also like a gong or something, or the resonance of the planets. If the planets could vibrate and make a sound like a string or something like, or a cosmic whoopee cushion, that this is what they would sound like. So, oh, yes, it's very interesting. All right, keep going. Now, you might not be getting the same joy out of it. Look at your friend's face, though. That helps. Say, look at them. It isn't often that we find things in this world that really move us, that help us forget our troubles, that can distract us. And I'm like that with instruments and everything. And when you're alone, you know, you are the sovereign of your little solitary world. And alone, you are the best saxophone or sack butt player or whatever you're playing, or melodica, or spoons. So by myself, I am Spoon Man. And there are rock groups, grunge groups coming to me and say, Spoon Man, beat the rhythm with your hands. And you go, all right, I will, my black hole son. But, you know, when you have to compare yourself to others, you go, oh, gosh, this thing I thought brought me joy. Look, I'm terrible at it. Look what a real guitar player does. How can I get any joy or excitement from it? Well, you know the answer to that. My gosh. You know, it's how we interact with things. This is that little space between you and the drum. That's what's really going on. There's always people that can be more dexterous or clever or inventive. And all our brains are a different size, and some of us, you know, have abilities. That's great. That's fantastic. I am concerned sometimes alone with my perspective. Not always. But I want to ensure that I do not lose my joy, that I do not diminish it by thinking it doesn't stand up, it doesn't hold up to others. Perhaps I shouldn't demonstrate it. Some things, we're used to some things being kept in private to give us pleasure. Is that not true? Yes, it is. So why can't we be that way with acoustic guitar? Say, oh, someone should ask me to see my acoustic guitar. I don't just want to whip it out like that. Because it might not give them the same joy. Say, oh, you're going to play one of those folk tunes. Fantastic. And you know how that is. People have a visceral reaction. They say, what are viscera? It's your guts. You feel in your guts. Now, your guts aren't your brain, right? Which means that it is a feeling that is not controlled by your intellect. So I have a visceral reaction to some things. My guts are going, I do not like this particular music. I shall change the station. You know, it's not because I don't like pickup trucks and country roads. It's just that there's something about the chord combination. I don't really know. But, you know, if you feel it deep down, feel it in your bowels. You say, well, my bowels have different listening tastes than I do. I wonder about that with people say, oh, I have there's people carrying a baby in them. So I put headphones on my womb, and then the child will hear it too. But also your viscera. So you wonder if your guts and the baby end up having the same taste. But I would like to say to you right now, if you ever want to play harmonica over that's what I'm doing, really, is playing harmonica over the telephone. That's what my radio show is, not literally. Now, this really happened to me. I was staying at a bed and breakfast in San Francisco, and there was not really a wall between my room and the proprietor of the property. It was more like a glass door that had a sheet over it. And so she received a call from a friend late one night, and he did that over there, and she had it on speakerphone, and he was just kept playing harmonica song after song. And I don't know how closely she's listening. There was a wall between us. I think I would have heard her roll her eyes, you know, because sometimes they'll roll back so far they'll make a kind of clunk sound, like a metallic clunk sound. But I mean, I think she was into it, or at least her love for her friend she was able to override her dyspepsia or her gut reaction. If anybody could weather this storm, it's you. I know you're going to do a great job. Be sure to look everywhere. Good luck. And so the journey begins. Good luck. You're going to have to leave sometime. Not in there.
There are clues everywhere.
Not in there. You're gonna have to leave sometime. I know you're gonna do a great job. And so the journey begins. Not in there. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
You should get the umbrella. You're gonna need it. Good job. What'd you do that for? You should get the umbrella. You're gonna need it. I don't think that's an exit. Good job. I don't think that's an exit. I don't think that's an exit. You should get the umbrella. You're gonna need it.
And so the journey begins. Sure to look everywhere.
That's a bottle. That's a chair. That's a bottle. What are you doing? Come on. Good job. That's a bottle. What are you doing? You should get the umbrella. You're gonna need it.
You rang? There's nothing to reload. There's nothing to reload.
That's a bottle. What are you doing? That's a chair. You can't rest now. We got a journey to go on. That's a chair. Are you discouraged because you're having a tough time getting started?
I know you're gonna do a great job. Good luck.
I don't think that's an exit. Are you discouraged because you're having a tough time getting started? Just be patient and hang in there, and before you know it, you'll find an exit.
Not in there.
I don't think that's an exit.
You can do this. Just look around.
I don't think that's an exit.
Okay, see, you keep doing that, but that's not a door. It's just a recess in the wall.
Just be patient and hang in there, and before you know it, you'll find an exit.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you just sit down for a minute?
That's a chair.
Collect your thoughts and consider all the clues. And then try to find an exit and get started on your journey, because it's going to be a fun game. So just don't stop putting a lot of pressure on yourself. I think that's the problem.
I don't think that's an exit. I don't think that's an exit.
Not in there. Not in there.
I don't think that's an exit. 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 I don't think that's an exit.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, the game. I'm Hardy White. Join me now as we challenge ourselves against ourselves and the game and ourselves as we explore the different layers and meanings of life as if it were a game. As if the stakes were something a little less than life and death. As if we were getting points that we could use to redeem for candy. Or maybe a toaster oven or something like that. I'm living in the past. Welcome to my world. I'm Marty White. When all this began, there was no show world, just the show. But the words grew into vines and the ideas into animals. And now the place has gone wild. You can restore the world, friend. I know you can. Find all the keys to show world and bring them here to me at the control cave. The world and radio are counting on you. Pick a side. Good choice. Good luck.
How are you going to cross the river? That's not going to work. That's not going to work.
Remember, you only get 3 peeks into the Book of Hints. Roll over the tiki. It's really a canoe.
How are you going to cross the river?
Remember, you only get 3 peeks into the Book of Hints. Use the stick as a lever to roll over the tiki.
How are you going to cross the river? How are you going to...
Remember, you only get 3 peeks into the Book of Hints. Use your hands to push the canoe into the water.
Uh-oh, now what? How are you going to cross the river?
Sorry, we're all out of hints. Remember, you only get 3 peeks into the Book of Hints.
Hey, are you okay?
I don't know, they just been standing there.
Do you need help or anything? Do you not know where you are, where you're going?
They lost the canoe.
Oh, you're stranded.
We had the Book of Hints and everything, but we used it up really quickly.
Well, maybe I can help you out a little bit. If you're willing to bear the guilt of telling people you did something that you really didn't, then press skip to next level. There you go, see?
I think we're in a cave. Look for clues. This is the way we came in. I think we're in a cave. It sure is dark in here. Look for clues. Be careful. It sure is dark in here. Watch out. Look for clues. This is the way we came in. I think we're in a cave. It sure is dark in here. I probably already said that. I'm finding it very difficult to not give you a hint. Look for clues. I'm gonna just let you solve this problem by yourself. I know there's a way out, but I'm still feeling claustrophobic. This is the way we came in. Look, if you just sort of hug the right wall, just don't keep turning is the problem. Just trust the path you're on. You keep turning so much, you're back at the beginning. This is the way we came in. I think we're in a cave. Watch out! So we can do one of two things. Either we can ask for Hardy's help, and I think it's a little premature to do that. Or we can go out of the cave, back onto the river. Now you skipped this part when you jumped stages, because you jumped ahead, so you didn't get the part on the river where they give you instructions. You went right into the cave portion, which is fine. You can totally get there from the cave. But you should probably go back out around to the river and let's give this another shot. And I'll take you down the river part and then you get instructions and everything and you get a lot more information. Like I said, not that I'm saying you can't take a shortcut. It's just maybe a shortcut's not for you. Maybe you're the kind that needs to go to community college. And I'm not equating the river with community college. Well, I am, and that's what it's like. Maybe woodshedding a little bit on the river until you get a better, your skills better in the game. Then we go into the cave, which could be, now it's fun because there's a secret. There could be a key in here. I'm not saying whether there is or not.
You have found a key to Show World. What do you wish to do with it?
You found a key. How did you find that key?
You have found a key to Show World. What do you wish to do with it?
Oh, you don't even know what to do with it yet. Oh, I shouldn't have given you a hint. Dang it, I'm sorry. This is my fault. Skip to the next level.
I had a good friend in school who liked to play games, liked to play board games. And he'd always get me to play with him. And he'd say, come play this board game with me. I said, well, I'm not too good at games. He goes, well, it's all right. You'll figure it out. I'll help you. So he'd get these games and open the thing. And it was always some sort of complicated war history game that you had to know a lot of history from the 15th century or something, or 14th century. And then on top of that, it'd be really complicated rules, you know, and a very complicated point to it. You know how some games are, you get from A to the end, and you go through the whole alphabet to get there. And it's pretty easy. Roll some dice. I can do that. And even chess. Well, not chess. But a lot of those games make sense to me. These never did. And he was very good at them. I'm sure he couldn't have had any fun playing against me, because if you are, let's say, a general and you want to go to war, why would you like to say, I'm going to go to war with my elderly great aunt? That's no good. So that would be over quickly. And these were. And the thing is, I didn't enjoy the game because I never understood it. I could never get past the first stage. Video games are like that too. It's like, well, I can't even operate the controller, much less do any kind of subtle problem solving. Oh, life is like that. A lot of times we look for the playbook, say, I want to know the rules. I feel like I can't even get started. What's all the point? You can spend your whole time looking for the point. And life is like, it's like you get a board game when you're born, and then you just look around for the directions. Like your whole life, you're looking for that book that'll explain it. Say, well, we could just start to play. Go, well, that's no good. That can't be. So people are going to reinvent the game every time? So a lot of times what will happen is people tell you, say, I heard that you're supposed to start here. You're okay. But there doesn't seem to be any official rules, right? People make them up. Card games are interesting that way. If you look at a card game and the history and the evolution of different kind of card games, and people add their own stuff, right? Families say, well, in my family, that's not the way we play crazy eights. We call it crazy fives, and we do it this way. Well, you've adjusted it for your people. Say, well, we don't play Monopoly with the chocolate pieces because we're diabetic. Say, chocolate pieces? And I think you're doing an adaptation of an adaptation. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how to do radio. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what the rules are. I try to do experiments, but experiments means sort of breaking the rules. I'm going to try things that I might be doing things that have already been done. For instance, when you're in school and you're doing, say, we're doing an experiment today. And say, what's the experiment? We're going to mix vinegar and baking soda. And say, oh, it's going to fizz over and kind of explode. So why did you tell me? You ruined it. You ruined it. I was doing an experiment. I didn't know what happened. Yeah, well, we all did that one. So I could tell you, I'm going to save you some time. What you should be doing is like cold fusion or something. I don't know. Try some, mix some stuff that's never been mixed together. I don't know. Like plutonium and Montreal steak spice. You don't know. So I'm trying to do experiments, but I'm doing experiments without really knowing what's already been done. I haven't listened to the radio. I mean, I have, but not all of it. People will approach me and say, your style, when you speak on the radio, you remind me of Bob Fessegaven. I'm going, oh, thank you. Who's Bob Fessegaven? Oh, Bob was big in the Aridu State area back in the Seven Sons. and we used to listen to him and say, oh, that's fantastic. I hope he was good. Yes, he killed himself or something. They'll say like, oh, okay, well, thank you. I'm glad you like the show. I've not heard that. It's so funny.
A lot of people say you're doing an impression of,
and you go, well, I don't know. Maybe I am. When I started to think about voices and things like that, and this has happened when you speak on the radio, you do find that a lot of the cartoon characters that you remember are a voice artist doing a celebrity impression, just changing it a little bit. Isn't that interesting? I've talked about this before. So a lot of things you say, I mean, they've done like Bert Lahr, people have done his voice as a cartoon character, and it's never, that one might have gotten a lawsuit or something. Bert Lahr's people were like, that sounds like Grandpa, but it's not Grandpa. They have done impressions of, let me think, I know that Paul Frees would do impressions of, for instance, when he's the boss on Dudley Do-Right. Oh, some of you have lost already. Say, I'm 21. I have no idea what you're talking about. There's the internet. Look it up. But he's doing Eric Bloor, who was a character actor back in the 40s and everything like that. He's doing an impression of him. He said, I don't know who that is. Exactly. So you don't know to need to know who it is anymore. When I do that, I'll just name the celebrity. So I'll say my Hans Conried impression. My character's called Hans Conried. That's how I get. Isn't that interesting? So I've sort of acknowledged. That's what I like to acknowledge. That's what I'm doing. I think it's only right. My Edward Everett Horton impression. I call that one Edward Everett Horton. I liked Edward Everett Horton and Paul Frees were on the same television show, and still Paul Frees did an impression of the fella. I love that, which I think is what Mr. Peabody is him doing, trying to do Edward Everett Horton. That's just my own theory. I have theories. I have lots of books out. It's called My Impression, and it really is just, it's the play on words, because it's my thoughts about people doing voices. Are you particularly good at it? No, I don't think you have to be. I've known lots of music critics, and they're not, I mean, they can play, but they're not the best, right? So I say, if you are fair to middling at something, why don't you tell other people how to do it? That makes up for it a lot. Say, I can't do it myself. Now, this could be, because I've seen a lot of coaches and say, that I don't know that person can really lift their own weight or something. Say, they don't need to. It's in the head. They have knowledge of the game. They don't have to do it. And I feel like that way with everything. No, that's not true. But I don't quite know my limitations. I do a bit. I want to push them. And when I experiment, say, oh, do some experimental radio right now. I don't know. I probably just make noises. And I think somebody's done that already. I wonder how you could really take it to the next level. More sounds, less sounds, confusing people about what they're listening to, confusing them on like a spiritual level, maybe, like profoundly. Disorienting people over time, maybe as a long game. That could be a sort of experiment. So I didn't know. I've been listening to your show for years. I did not realize that I was participating in a psychological experiment. I want my money back. I want my consciousness back. It'll be refunded to you. I swear. I like to look at this intellectually like this. Remember those old, you give 10 cents and you get 10 albums, but then you're obligated for the rest of your life for tens of thousands of dollars? I don't think it's quite how that worked, but a little bit. When you started listening to this show, that was like, say, my investment is what? Some time. And then what did you get back? Nothing. But then, over time, somehow you owe me. I don't know how I'm going to make that work, but that's my game, I guess. No, I'm kidding. I hope that we have an equitable relationship. I can't listen to your show necessarily. I wonder if that'd be interesting. If now I listen to yours, now we all have to listen to each other's. I'm glad we don't all have shows. That would be good. I wouldn't be doing much more. It's like that with my friend John always says, he's a musician. Don't make your friends your fans. Because your friends, you got a guilt for different reasons. So you got a guilt to get them to. Those are the
casserole when you're dead, people, too. And when not you're when you're dead. Don't bring me a casserole when I'm dead. Bring it to my survivors. Or bring it to me when I have a loss. I mean, I guess you could bring a casserole to me when I'm dead. I'm not going to stop you. I think that might be nice. And when I do pass, and then there was this thing at Monty Hall, and everybody brought a casserole because he had mentioned that, and he was dead, so he didn't know what happened. You could tell me now, and then I could enjoy it. I think a lot of times we think maybe the dead are looking down from heaven, and we say, we're going to do this thing to honor them. You're doing it for yourself, so do whatever you get together. Just keep doing it for you. It'd be awesome. I won't know. Should you want to honor me, strike while the iron's hot and I'm alive. That's when I would pay. And people have this saying, oh, I'm going to send you a cake. All right. Send her through the station. I'll get it in a year and a half. That's still all right. We are alive for such a short period of time, aren't we? I've had friends go at all ages, 0 to 100. I'm thinking if I lost any 100-year-old friends. Those are on the acquaintance ends. I wasn't piling around with any 100-year-olds. The lost bird.
So that's why I don't take cream in my coffee.
Oh, I always thought you were lactose intolerant.
Nah, I'm everything else intolerant, though.
Morning, Hardy.
I can't find the bird. She's gone.
Oh, no.
She's not in her cage.
Maybe she's perched on a bookshelf somewhere.
I've looked everywhere. You have to help me find her.
Hang on. We'll look in every room. No one has opened any doors this morning, so there's no way she flew out. The storm last night spooked her, maybe. I'll check all the nooks and crannies.
We have to find her. Something might happen to her.
We will, man. Don't worry. Butchie, are you going to help?
No.
Man, why not? Hardy is super upset. Let's help him find his bird.
There is no bird.
What?
There is no bird. He hasn't had a pet bird in 30 years.
But...
he's still half asleep.
Hardy, there's no bird.
Oh, right. Oh, I was dreaming, I guess.
Yeah, no need to fear losing that bird. It's long dead. Good morning, by the way.
I used to have a recurring nightmare that either my grandfather or my grandmother were still alive, but very sick, almost sicker than they were at the end of their actual lives. And I would think, oh no, I gotta go take care of my grandma. Look at her, she's near death. And I have these nightmares and I go through this, and then you wake up and you go, ah, what a relief, she's already dead. Now, is it though? It's pretty horrifying. You get to live through it all over again. You think, well, I got through that. And you go, did you though? If you gotta go through it in your brain again. It was scary to you, and it is difficult living with this. And then you're confronted with this idea, you know, is my grandmother alive and sick or dead, and I don't have to worry about it? Oh, it seems like the worry is right there with love, just like our body is with a soul. This worry is with this love. This love is always going to be accompanied by a fear. If you have love, then your worst fear is going to be losing it. And so I believe that this is a bit of a quandary, although I absolutely know which side my brain and myself come down on. We would like to love and we understand that there's going to be a risk to it. But I also found out that I am mortal. And so this was a shock when it sunk in. But... So that's kind of risky. So I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to risk all sorts of things to show my appreciation and to express my love. And I like what it does to others too. When I care about others, I see in their face a recognition that thank you. You've acknowledged my experience. We're closer to connecting. You know, we'll always be separate in space and time and experience and everything, but there's ways to get slightly closer and to look familiar to one another. And as we share our experiences like that, and when we express them, sometimes in abstract forms, people say, I recognize that scream. That's the way I feel. I know that noise. I thought that about the noises are like that. And there's on The Simpsons, you know, Marge Simpson makes this, and it's just a noise, right? But the first time you ever heard, you recognize that, you go, I know what that is. That's expressive. That's from the soul. That's one of those basic feelings. It's hard to define. It's kind of an annoyance, frustration kind of thing. And it's uniquely human, and it's better expressed in a funny guttural sound than it is a word. And I used to clap more than I do and make more funny noise. I have now have more dignity as I age. I was more uninhibited when I was young. I guess I get more inhibited. How's that possible? I should be caring less. Maybe I guess you should make more things as your house of cards grows higher. You get more tense. Like you start that house of cards and you go, knock it down. I'll start it all over again. You get a couple, you get a couple stories up, and you're thinking, oh boy, I don't have the same carefree relationship to this house of cards as I once did. I can't imagine starting over again. But it's probably good. I'm going to just knock it down again. I'll start from the beginning. What about your reputation? Reputations are stale. That's history. I'm going to switch towns all the time. I'm a brand new doctor. Well, why did you leave the old town? Don't you worry about that. I'm practicing medicine here now. I guess sometimes they're necessary. I don't know. Could I do that much damage as on the radio, just speaking to you like this? Do I need to be vetted to make sure that I'm not putting something into your brain that might hurt you ultimately? I hope not. Let me give you something that you might need. I want to be like, do you ever go to a hotel that's usually the fancy ones, and they have anticipated so many of your needs that there's a sewing kit. Now, that's pretty advanced. I could say, well, they probably need a towel. So a lot of hotels get that right. And some are even like, what if they forgot their robe? That's when you cater to the wealthy, because the wealthy are forgetful. And you say, what if they need? And they used to be like, what if they need to shine their shoes? And they'd give you, shoe shine stuff and everything like that. That is anticipating needs. And I try to do that when I give, say, what? And they might need a snack. So when I speak to you like this, I know that I'm speaking to you between sophisticated art. And I'm thinking, well, they just heard a beautiful sonata or something. And what do they need now? Do you need a snack? Do you need to wipe your... You might need a wet nap. And when there's... it's a sink and an envelope. And you crack it open and you start wiping and it's got soap. And then the soap disappears and it rinses and then it just dries out and you can use it to dry. Goes through all the clean cycles. That's technology. You don't think it just that being technology, but it is. Somebody's came up with that, and they had to make it, and they get the moist towelette there in to seal the envelope. I don't know how that's done. Also, I imagine I'd like to do an experiment, see how long it takes to dry out in the envelope. That's called the angel share. What happens is eventually, no matter how well it's sealed, it's probably going to lose moisture. Moisture will out, which you learn day one on chemistry. Moisture will out. And then, I want to be bag of nuts, wet nap, comb, maybe, hair dryer. You don't get to keep it. You don't get to keep it. The hairdryer, though, you could use while you're here. That's another one. And the robe, the robe's on the line. I don't know if you get to keep them or not. I think they stay, like the towels. Some people are tad larcenous, and they like to. I went to school with a guy like that. That's an unfortunate name to have. So how did y'all even get the last name of larcenous? Because, well, it's a corruption of the original Larsonus. Ah, so you're tad larcenous. I am Theodore Larsonus. And my people steal. That's just, no, I don't know if we do or not. I don't think so. I like to help myself to things that I know are free and then tell myself I'm stealing. Like, I'm going to take these. Every time I leave a restaurant, I steal a mint. I don't even pay for it. I went through a drive-thru the other day, and they forgot one of the items, and I hadn't paid for it yet. I guess I didn't check the menu. And I said, oh, I had one more sandwich, and they went, here, just take it. Because I guess it was more trouble to pay for it and everything. I was like, I like that. I like that. I feel like I don't want to game the system, but that was really nice because we don't want to hold up. Look at the big picture. The other people behind me want to spend money. Let's not hold it up too much.
Who here wants a miracle? Can I hear you? Who came here for a miracle? Fantastic.
Can you hear me, Butchie?
Yes, I can.
Good.
That's what we say at the Miracle New World meetings. Yes, I can. Are you ready to have your lives changed? All right.
All right. Look for a fella in a gold shirt with red glasses. He has a good questionnaire.
You, sir, in the front with the red glasses. Are you looking for answers?
Yes, I am.
Well, come on up.
His name is Ted.
Come on up here, Ted.
Don't say it yet.
Ted the stage. Come on up, Ted the stage.
Good cover.
Thanks.
What?
What? I am now going to take a guess at your passion.
He's a writer. Wants to be a writer.
You love to write.
Yes.
You want to be a writer.
Oh, my God, yes.
He hasn't been published yet, though.
You have not yet been published that yet, though.
You're right.
That can be very frustrating. You don't want to give up on your dream, right?
No, I don't.
He currently works as a copy editor for a state agency.
You are currently a real estate agent.
I didn't say real estate. I said state agency. He has a desk job for the state.
No, I have a job.
I meant that you take up real estate just sitting around working for the state. Am I right?
That's for sure.
You are masterful, Butchie.
But you have your master's.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, you got there on your own, Butch.
That happens sometimes.
Indeed. Oh, and a laugh. He lives in North Jersey. Want to hook him up with North Arlington Writers Journal?
I'm going to give you some advice now, and hopefully you're going to be able to follow through. If by crazy chance you were from North Jersey, there is a writer's journal in North Arlington looking for writers to publish. And if you tell them I sent you...
Thank you, Butchie. It's like you're magic or something.
Maybe I just have a little fairy whispering in my ear.
I'm more like a very large sprite, but go on.
You're gonna be somebody, my friend.
Now call him Ted.
Can I take a wild guess at your name to test my powers?
Go right ahead.
Your name is Todd.
It's Ted, Butchie.
No, but that's close.
Ted? Oh, my God.
I see what you did there, Butch.
Let them think you dropped the ball and then kick the ball into the hoop as it's dropping.
Okay.
I did not mean to say that out loud.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that all my hope started as false hope. All my encouragement started as benevolent lies. You can do it. You're so good at that. I remember adults saying that to me. Not very often. Say it more, adults, because you're not saying it enough. But I try to encourage children. I'll make a big fuss. I go, you made these cookies like that. And you don't think that's a big deal. It really, really is. And they remember it. Like if you talk to kids once they in their 20s and stuff, you start asking them about little memories and things like that. And you will be surprised at the little encouragements they remember. They don't always acknowledge it, right? So you make them feel as if they can do it. And that gives them room. That gives them some courage. You don't want to start any journey being discouraged. Say, all right, you can try to do it, but, it's really hard. School's really hard, so I don't know. I'm going to let you go, but, See, that's no way to do it. We just know that sometimes we need to lift each other up. And it is about, you know you can do it, maybe. I know you can do it if you try, but maybe. I don't want to say the maybe part. That's ridiculous. Why do they need to know that? You know? Because if they don't try at all, it really won't happen. So I try to be encouraging with people's joys. So I keep playing that. Oh, that's good. Even if, you know, I try to find a little something to be encouraging about. And that need, I believe, remains as people get older. They look for it in different ways. They need it in different ways. Who tells them has to improve? So like in your beginning of your writing career, your mom is fine as someone to give you encouragement. As time goes on, you're saying, like, I would really like encouragement from a Pulitzer Prize winner or something like that. I'd like somebody who knows. I don't want any kind of fault. Oh, this is very good. No, I want you know, an informed, critical evaluation of my work to see that I am doing a good job. I don't want that, by the way. Don't give me that. You can still blow. If you like to blow smoke, I have a target for you, and it's easy to hit. So, right up there, right up my confidence chimney. Say yes. Oh, he's so good, Hardy. Thank you. We all still need it, I think. Especially if somebody is determined to express themselves through their art or somehow. I think there's nothing wrong with encouraging. I don't want encouragement. Their music is so bad. Shut up. Maybe it's good for them, though. You know? Who knows how large the audience is for some art? We know it's small. I know people that are famous in their genre. And what's that mean? It means that dozens of people worldwide enjoy their art. It's just that that's the... And 100% of the people who are into that think they're great. So you don't know how large the audience is for what you do, but it's there. I bet you anything it is. And I've talked about the value. You could be in... You could be playing covers at the Holiday Hotel lounge with your friends and move a heart to tears or to heal a heart. Doesn't matter. You know? And you can see from the experience of people that have done things on a grand scale that their life is no fun park eating experience where they go and they eat food on the ground or something and there's clowns. Often it's difficult. So, you know, it's only equal because the whole better, best thing is an illusion. And, you know, so what do you care if something is acclaimed necessarily if it doesn't speak to you? And I don't want to take that away from you because I would rather be surrounded by joyous human beings, not discouraged ones. I don't want to be surrounded by those who are bitter and stomped down by others. And no. Come on, I can lift you all up. Watch the magic that happens when we lie to each other in a good way. I'm not saying lying is belying. Stories are lying. And they're lies that we lay on, beautiful, beautiful lies that we're able to recline on. And I don't mistake them for a reality, but I do mistake them for truth. Oh, I feel transcendent often, and that's what that noise was. Sometimes I feel things flowing through me, and I feel very temporary, too, at that time. I feel like I'm speaking from the grave often, and I'll say that, and you go, why is it you're so morose? Are you sick? No, I'm not acting. Well, I'm always sort of sick because I'm not like, I don't know, I wouldn't say I'm robust, but I don't know if I'm going anywhere. But I always feel like I am when I'm really bursting open at the seams because it feels like I am, it feels like the culmination of my life sometimes when I'm speaking to you. It feels like there's nothing more, that I'm getting this kind of ultimate moment, this eternal moment where I shout out to the universe and my whole existence from my birth as a baby to my death is contained in that moment. And it's satisfying. And I feel like I've done a thing. And I can't imagine what comes next. But the next day gets here. Someday it won't, but it often does. But this moment when I speak to you, and this when the microphone is in front of me, I cannot express to you its timeless feeling. It does feel like I'm floating in another universe. And what makes it stranger is you might be experiencing the feelings that I'm feeling, but at a different time and a different place. So, literally, you know, days from now, in New Jersey or Belgium, we could connect. While I'm home asleep, while I'm eating a thing, what do I eat? Pierogi? I don't know. I had one a couple of days ago. I don't know why I thought about that. I had it with Brussels sprouts, by the way, if you're interested. It was very good. I think they're all mixed together. It was a nice dish. Someone made me. They said, this is from the newspaper. I go, see, we still need newspapers, even if it was the online edition. Oh, my friends. We are friends. We are. I know we are. I can feel it. Because I'll tell you one thing. Tolerance is often friendship. I'll take that as a demonstration of friendship. If you're still nodding, if you're still listening, even if you're disagreeing, first of all, don't tell me if you're disagreeing. But that connection and you giving me the gift of your time and attention to me seems like friendship. Seems like we're in some sort of club or family. Oh, we are the familia with a silent G. Who's the silent G? You are. Oh, yes. We're all necessary. You might not hear. You hear him. I'm the silent G in the familia. Yeah, oh, he doesn't say much. But he's old school loyal. He's loyal to you even when he's not loyal to you because he's loyal to the idea of loyalty or something. Oh, it's ancient. It's very ancient. Sometimes I feel I speak for the ancients. What do the ancients say? Let me sum it up. I'm going to try to contact a very ancient spirit. I'm doing this legitimately. Let's see if anything, if I don't get any feeling or nothing comes to me, I'll make something up. Thirsty. All right, I might have done that one, but I imagine that that's what our ancestors might have been thinking. Thirsty. Could be ordinary thirst. Could be diabetes. You don't know. I don't know where you are right now, ancient ancestor. But here's the thing they've got now. Clench gum. I know that would have been, I know y'all would have loved that back if you were stalking an animal over miles and miles and miles. And you got your spear and you're walking in the... try this. You go, ooh, it's tart. Yes, it's tart, but it makes saliva. It quenches. It doesn't make any additional water. Should I add urine? No, just look for a clean water source or something. The quench gum will get you just long enough where you can go get that clean water source and fulfill that thirst. Is this fulfilling a thirst to you? For you? To you? Are you able to take a nice big long drink of radio and feel nourished? Well, water isn't nourishing. Food is nourishing. Yes, but you could be allergic to that. I'm giving you something pure. I think that you can tolerate no matter what. My grandmother was not able to drink water, so she drank witch hazel. All right. Wait a minute. What's that card? The Two of Chairs. Is that good? It can mean that there is some conflict ahead. And this one? That is the Queen of Numbers. Okay. So would you like to hold or take another hit? I think I'll take another card. Ah, the Three of Memory. Sorry. Sorry about what? Sorry about what? You said sorry. I was just repeating what you said. No, I mean when you turned the card over, you said sorry.
I did?
Yes.
Sorry.
You don't remember?
Remember what?
Saying sorry.
Just now, of course.
No, earlier when you turned the card over.
There are no cards.
My memory is unreliable, and it's unreliable even when it has made what I think are reliable memories, because I believe that I am combining like events into a single memory to save space. So if something that happened with my friend Tom is very much like something that happened when I was with my friend Liana, then I will just make it one event that happened when I was with Philippa or something, some third person who wasn't even there. But what I've done is I've taken something and I've distilled the truth of it and I've made it something like a memory. Now, the problem is I use my memories to predict the future. So I've got all these memories that are wrong and I'm using them
to predict what's going to happen. So it's a bit like I'm using, you know, Treasure Island to figure out what's going to happen in the stock market. And you say, well, that doesn't seem quite right. No, doesn't it? It seems absolutely surreal. And I believe that's how my life is unfolding, that I am using imperfect memories. Oh, I'll go farther than that. I'm using absolute fiction with characters that didn't exist saying things they never said in order to be a fortune teller, to predict the future, to make decisions in the present. And I'm just using made up stuff. I think that with the tarot cards, I go, I don't know that there's any skeleton walking around like that. How could they? Unless Ray Harryhausen is bending it every few seconds and going, blink, blink your eyes, now open them, now open them, then that skeleton's not moving. Something's moving it. I don't know. I may have put all those memories together too. I think maybe I did see moving skeletons and I've just blended it in, combined it with a movie, and now I think they don't exist. I might have been in the graveyard one night and seen some skeletons walking around and think, well, I've got to make sense of that because they can't be. What I know about anatomy, bones pretty much need sort of some kind of elasticy things to keep them together and then to pull them in all sorts of directions. And then they need some sort of central computing area to, you know, come up with an idea of what to move or where to move. And I'm not seeing that with this skeleton. So I'm going to say that's a person in a skeleton suit, or, like I said, Ray Harryhausen is doing it, and I'm just... Another thing I always think of is, and people do this in the movies when they see a ghost or something, they go, have I lost my mind? It's so interesting, they don't know. They go, I'm seeing something. Am I crazy? Wow, yeah, see, welcome to being crazy. You just don't know it. It can be thrust upon you. A lot of times if you're super crazy, you don't know it. You know, you say, am I? There's a ghost. What you should be thinking is am I nuts and there's a ghost? There could be both things. It's so funny because a lot of those old mental hospitals are haunted. So you got both things going on. I wonder if they were haunted at the time. Say, excuse me, doctor. First of all, I acknowledge that I have hallucinations. Two, there's an actual ghost here. So I imagine my dilemma. No one's believing me. They're not believing me about the hallucinations either. So this is a problem. I feel sometimes that we're probably more likely to believe it's an actual ghost. I think you're faking being crazy. But you say there's a ghost here? Yes. And it's dressed in colonial costume. And its name is Reginala. No, that's not a real name, but that's what the ghost tells me. Perhaps change it. Yeah, I would do that. If I was a ghost, I'd change my name. Say, they call me Hardy, but now I'm a ghost. I want to be Horalakan or something. I mean, why be limited? If I don't have my body anymore, I don't think I would have my inhibitions, perhaps. Be a free-spirited ghost. That ghost will just not keep its pants on. It can't. It can't. It doesn't have any corporeal substance or something. I would gladly put trousers on my misty effervescence if I was able to, but I'm not. I'm just a spirit. Oh, I want to be a spirit for you, my friends. You are a spirit for me. And you are granting me the greatest miracle of all, and that's your attention, because you are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide, where you can listen anywhere in the world, really, if you have the right, if you can hear it. Oh, that doesn't make much sense. You can get it virtually anywhere that you'll be, probably. If you're listening now, you're good. So, and the chances are that you could probably do that somewhere else should you need to relocate. So what if you're in your car? Be safe, okay? And I'm thinking about you. You can think about old, no, you don't have to think about me. You can think about me once a week. I give you 1 hour. That's a lot.
Have you been down to the water? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you been down? be. Yeah.